Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
You know, the Bible says in Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Do you all believe the Lord built this house?
Amen.
The Bible also says it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit. Do you all believe the Spirit was responsible for the power? Amen. Charles Spurgeon once said, we will only reap the grain that was sown from a seed from heaven, watered by grace, ripened by the sun of divine love. I preached that from the very beginning that this church would be like Gideon's army. How many people know the story of Gideon and his army? They went around putting Bibles in all the hotel rooms. No, they were called to bring God's people back to the Lord, and they did it by having to defeat the Midianites, which was a very large army. And they started out day one, they had 32,000. And the Lord spoke to Gideon and said, that's too many. Have you ever heard a general say, we have too many men? The Lord said, that's too many. So they whittled down to 10,000. And the Lord comes and says to Gideon, that's too many. And then he gets down to 300. And the Lord says, okay, go beat them with 300. And the reason the Lord gives for using 300 was this: lest Israel boast over me, saying, my hand has saved me. How many people know that God does his best work with small things? He doesn't need anything big. Matter of fact, he prefers things small. That way, when something happens, people say, how did those people do that? And the only answer is God. So, we give the Lord all the credit for everything. But I want to say this. There was still an army of 300 men and women that God used. And I want to thank some of those. And so, first of all, I want to thank the body of RMC who have stuck with us. Many of you for 15 plus years. So, let's thank the body that was faithful. You don't necessarily have to clap after every one of these, but the elders and the deacons, of course, of this assembly did an amazing job in helping us complete the project. But this guy you probably should clap for, because he was such a wonderful, solid, what other kind of words can I use to describe you? Wonderful, so awesome, okay. But more than anything, he was faithful to what the Lord gave him. And since he was retired as the president of Anthracite Coal Mine, he had all this free time on his hand. So we thought, as an elder here of Rivermont Church, we would make him the head of our building committee, Rusty Taylor. And he had a trusty elder by his side. Jay Cogley was also there. So we want to thank Jay as well. Do we have any of the builders or contractors or any of those folks here? All right, we're going to thank them now. Let's move on. I'm just kidding. Zawada Building and also Service Construction. Big thank you to both of those guys who were very flexible with all of our demands. I mean, all of our requests. And the church, over the years, we were able to accumulate a lot of money because we rented very inexpensive facilities. So we put about $275,000 into this building already, but we needed a little bit more. We needed about $250,000 more. It roughly cost about $500,000, in case you're wondering. And we need a little extra funds. And so banks don't like to usually give loans to churches, and they especially don't like to give loans to churches that are fairly small. And we had such a hard time. Construction loans are very difficult. So my other stepson stepped forward along with his wife, Jacqueline, and they offered to give us a line of credit, private funding, that helped us complete this building. About $250,000. No fear. Amen. His mother's clapping the loudest. And That's my son. Also, all those people that housed us over the years, we have... Was it planned that tomorrow we'd be sitting up here from the Poppy Press? And that our good friend Rodney Murphy over here, they helped provide a home for us. Let's thank them. Amen and amen and amen. So thank you, 300, for helping us put up this assembly. The Bible is very clear that God doesn't need a metal building, by the way. Matter of fact, he said this to the Israelites as they had built the temple. He said, "Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you will build for me? What is the place of my rest? All these things I've made with my hands, and all these things came to be." In other words, God has made the universe. He doesn't need us giving him a little metal building. But here's what it does say. "But to this one, this is the one whom I will look. He who is humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word." So instead of dedicating a building, we're going to dedicate the people who are going to do the work of God in the building. Amen? We are the church. We are his people. And if we do it humbly and with a contrite spirit, being very reverent of his word, God will do great things. Before we have a blessing of dedication from the pastors, I just want to talk about a few things about this building. Because everybody said, I've asked many people, what do you think of the building? "Oh, you think it's pretty nice, except for one thing. Why is it black?" I can tell by your nervous laugh that that wasn't anybody in here. Why is this? Because people think of this. When they think of a little white church and all that, they think of traditional church. Thomas Kincaid and the little white church. But by the way, we were in that church for 8 years, and I'm going to say something. This church is far more biblical than that church. Oh, everybody got quiet on me. Okay, that's not good. And I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. You see, white churches with steeples are beautiful to look at, but there's nothing particularly biblical about them. I often point out to people that are concerned about our color being black, how many people remember the good old hymn, "The Little Brown Church in the Vale"? Now, this church was brown when all the other churches were white. Does anybody know the theological reason for painting this church brown instead of white? It's a deep theological reason. Brown paint was cheaper. At this time. And so they built this weird church, and probably everybody asked the pastor on Sunday, "Why is it brown?" And y'all know there's no biblical colors, right? Like, God doesn't prefer a white to a brown to a... No, okay. Because look at the human race, right? Right? Let's get rid of that color thing about anything, really. Little Brown Church in the Vale. And by the way, the reason why this song became famous is because it was the only church that was brown. And somebody stumbled across it and said, "I think I'll write a song about it." I'm just going to say anyone's going to write a song about us. Okay. A few more things that may... Oh, there's my dog right there. Look at him right there. You know, I thought for sure I edited him out of there, but her out of there, but I guess I didn't. So I'm going to stand over here. Okay. Next to my dog. So people have asked the question... You got a cupola instead of a steeple, but you have an eagle on top. Why don't you have a cross? And to this I reply, the eagle here on top is because this church has been given the moniker from the very beginning that this is where eagles fly. So that's why we have an eagle up there. You know, it's really curious. I don't know if she's here right now, but somebody called me this week and said, "I went to your church, I've been driving by, and I really want to come." And I said, "Well, where do you go?" She said, "Well, I go to this other church, and they closed down." Whatever. She said, "But I got to be honest with you. The thing that attracted me to your church was that eagle. I just kept looking at it. I kept thinking, this is where I want to be." Well, this is where eagles go to fly. So welcome to your home as an eagle. The Bible says this in Isaiah, and this is what it's based upon. It says, "Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." The key word there was wait. You have to wait. So the other thing real quickly was, why does it look like a barn? right? We got the barn thing here. And do you know the most biblical dwelling place is where Jesus was born? When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the place He chose was a barn. Call it a stable, call it a manger. And you say, well, okay, that was good in the very beginning, humble birth and all of that. How about when He begins His ministry? Remember John the Baptist saying, He will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He says, the winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear the threshing floor and gather what? His wheat into the barn. Biblical reference to the barn. Jesus is pictured as a farmer with a winnowing fork in His hand, similar to a pitchfork. Can you get some lights over here? So, if you'll notice over here, we have the modern day equivalent of a winnowing, it's called a winnowing basket. And the fork, like the basket, you would throw the wheat up into the air, and then the wind would come, and it would blow away what? The chaff. And what would be left? Wheat. Jesus' ministry was all about separating the wheat from the chaff and the tares. And personally, I believe a church is called to do the same thing. And here's the way we do it. Wheat is thrown up, chaff is blown away. But notice what the text says. It is to clear the thrashing floor. Does anybody know what a thrashing floor is? That's why I got my big stick here. This is literally what a thrasher. And this is how it's done. Now, by the way, I'm not going to do this literally. But the wheat is on the floor, is left on the floor, and it's just bashed and bashed and bashed and bashed until the chaff separates. Is that beautiful imagery? And then when it's thrown up into the air, the chaff can blow away. But it takes a thrashing before it happens. Jesus did a thrashing on the human race. He preached the word and then was crucified. He told the truth. And the text says that people love darkness more than the truth. So that's what the church is about. But finally it says, the wheat is gathered into the barn. His barn. I like to think of this as His barn. Finally, last thing and then we'll pray. We have the yoke over here. It's a yoke that was made for two oxen. And why would the farmer make a yoke for oxen? What was the purpose? Keep it together. Yoke them together so they could walk together, so they could do the work together. Well, Jesus said these words. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. Get my yoke for your life. Be yoked to me and begin to learn. So this yoke is all about being yoked to Jesus. But there's one other interesting thing about this. What was Jesus before He became a missionary and ultimately, of course, He was the Messiah who died for us. But what was He in His youth when He turned 12? He's a carpenter. And the legend has it, and this is just a Jewish tradition in the first, second century, that He used to make yokes in His carpenter shop. And the legend went that when you went to Jesus to get a yoke made, it was a perfect fit. Would you expect anything less? And so when Jesus is saying, take my yoke, there He is working. That's not an actual picture, by the way, but that's what it would look like. In the carpentry shop, making the yoke. And notice that every yoke has to be specifically designed for each oxen. And Jesus is saying, if you'll take my yoke, the yoke that I'll make for your life, it'll be a perfect fit. I made that yoke for you and only you. Take my yoke and then begin to learn throughout your life. And I'll teach you how to be like me. Be yoked. Take my yoke. I thought maybe this wasn't quite accurate until I looked at the Greek word for my yoke is easy. And you see the primary Thayer's definition is it fits. It's a perfect yoke. So before we pray for the building, I want to pray for you. Do you have the yoke? Are you yoked to Jesus? Because the text goes on to say, you'll find rest for your soul. In other words, there is no rest outside of being yoked to Jesus. There is no rest outside of taking the yoke that He personally designed for your life and walking with Him. I want everybody to pray with me now. Do you know that? Let me say this. If you don't have any rest in your life, you don't have any peace in your life, if you leave here and you just don't sense God's presence, I want to say this. Don't leave here without being yoked to God. Don't leave here without experiencing the yoke that Jesus has for you. So Heavenly Father, I pray for each individual here that they might know that custom design yoke that fits them perfectly, that You made for them before the foundations of the earth, that if they'll take it upon them, they'll find rest for their soul.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.